you so much, Shannon. If I die in a softball game, I hope you'll play at my service. And Fred, I trust you'll make sure nothing gets yanked out of me. So I think I'm all covered between the two of you. I'll invite you to turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 21. Today we'll conclude our Radicalized by Jesus series with this story that happens a short time after the resurrection. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say this, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Now, Father, we come now and open our hearts before your word. We thank you that this story gives us one glimpse moment of a post-resurrection experience with you and the disciples. And we pray that your spirit will just gather up whatever truth or insight that would help us more look like you, that would bless our life in such a way that it will bless our community or bless our world. And just instill that message within us. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. After Jesus was raised from the dead, I'm sure a number of people had to kind of figure out, what does life look like from this? How radical do we actually go with this? Do we stop doing everything that we were doing? Do we continue some of the things that we were doing? What is the expectation? This is a pretty radical gospel. This is pretty radical news that as the women went to the tomb, they found that it was empty. And then the disciples, a couple of the disciples came, they found it was empty. And still, on Resurrection Day, there was confusion about what all had really happened. Jesus appeared in a very particular way to Mary Magdalene, but the disciples themselves were still trying to figure out what in fact happened. As the news began to spread that the tomb was empty, the disciples toward evening began to gather, and there was some fear that their lives would be in danger. So they gathered themselves together in a room, locked the doors, probably sensed that in the city life in Jerusalem, that there was commotion, that there was uneasiness, that there were a number of
ideas and theories and all kinds of things floating about, and they were not sure how to finish off the day. And so they gathered themselves behind closed doors. Jesus appeared to them and let them see that, in fact, he had been risen. And let them see, in fact, his hands, the scars on his body, puncture in his side. And he proclaimed to them very simply, "Peace be unto you." The Gospel of John records a very unique moment that Jesus had with his disciples when he also breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. It was almost like a pre-Pentecost type of experience when the Holy Spirit came in larger measure in the book of Acts. But Jesus simply breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said to them, "Whosoever sin you've forgiven is forgiven." And so the disciples had this initial evening encounter with Jesus behind closed doors. And then of all things, about a week later, they were gathered again behind closed doors and Jesus appeared to them again. This time, Thomas was with them. He had not been with them in the original appearance of Jesus. And Thomas was coming aboard with all that had happened. And then it appears that a short time after that, at Jesus' instruction, the disciples went to Galilee. And on this particular evening, Peter just decided he wanted to go fishing, and he mentioned it to a couple of the other disciples. "Hey, you know, it's a nice night. Waters are calm. This is about the time that we should have a great catch of fish. There's been a lot of stuff going on in our lives over the last week or so. It's been intense. We've seen our Lord put on trial. We watched him as his body was beaten. We stood at the cross, and truth is, we didn't know what to do, and we ran. We gathered in fear. He appeared to us, assured to us that he was risen from the dead. He's instructed us to come up to Galilee." And I could imagine that Peter must have thought to himself, I just want to get back to normal living for just a moment. I need to unwind, and the best way I unwind is when I go fishing. The best way I find myself is when I'm on the lake. The thing that I have known all of my life, the thing that my dad taught me, where I spent my years, where I earned my living, is just out there on beautiful Sea of Galilee, enjoying creation, enjoying what I do, catching fish, bringing them in, eating, selling them, going to the market, enjoying the day. So Peter went with several disciples out on the lake in the night. He and disciples had spent the entire evening on the lake. And I'm sure that it was of great amazement to them. They knew the times of fishing. They knew where to fish. That they spent the entire night on this particular night and had not caught a single thing. The early morning sun began to break against the horizon. And I imagine they were thinking to themselves, "I guess it's about time to call this in. Another day. We'll go out again. We'll do this." And as they look towards the shore, they see a human figure standing on the shore. John recognizes who it is. And when Peter hears John announce, "That's Jesus standing on the shore," Peter jumps out of the boat. He just can't help himself. He just makes his way to Jesus. Jesus yells out across the water, "Did you guys catch anything last night?" "No, not a single thing." Jesus said, "Well, you're not done yet. Take your nets and cast them on the right side of the boat." And I know the disciples certainly must have thought to themselves, "All right, he doesn't understand that we've been doing this all night long. We have been casting our nets all night long. We have been in a boat all night long. Nobody knows these waters like we do. We know our trade." And yet, they take their nets, and I'm sure just because it was Jesus and who he was, they cast their nets on the right side of the boat. I'm sure that they could not believe it. When those nets began to be immediately filled, and they were towing the boat and the nets behind it in, and as they came to shore, they noticed that Jesus had already started breakfast for them. There's some coals already burning. He already had some fish up. There was already some bread. And Jesus had already begun a breakfast meal for them. And Jesus said, "Bring that entire catch of fish up." So they hauled it in. Estimated that with that many fish, 153 large fish in it, and with the weight of the net, it may have weighed as much as 300 pounds. So they haul in this catch. They count the fish. And undoubtedly sheer amazement that in this moment of listening to the word of Jesus and throwing their net on the right side of the boat, and as if the fish heard some kind of a secret signal, or as if they just swam right into the nets as if they just wanted to be caught. And now they are brought ashore. And the disciples begin to recognize, well, Jesus himself already has some fish going here. Clearly, while they were out casting their nets, Jesus probably had stood along the banks of the river doing a little bit of his own fishing. Can you imagine? And now they gather and enjoy a beautiful breakfast together. I just want to make one very simple observation about this, and you'll, I trust, have many for yourselves. And that is this. We've talked a lot about being radicalized by Jesus. We've talked a lot about the upside-down kingdom of God. And all of those things can sound like, wow, that's just a lot. That's just too much. That's just pushing the envelope. All of that stuff is just a little much on the edge for me. But on this day, in this story, there is a moment of being radicalized by Jesus that happens in the very context of just living an ordinary day. Most of us probably think about ourselves, I'm just the kind of person that lives a routine, ordinary kind of life. There's not going to be any flashy headlines about my life when it is done. There's probably not going to be a news report. Nobody will actually probably write a book about my life and what I was about and the things I've done and the places I've been and the contribution that I have made to our world and what I have done for Christ or how I love my family. And most of us probably think we are a very ordinary kind of people. We get up and we have our routines. We go to our jobs. We take care of our families or we visit with our friends. We pay the bills. And day in and day out looks pretty much the same for a great majority of us. But there is a powerful truth in the post-resurrection story. And it is this, that when we know Jesus Christ, our everyday, ordinary routines, the things that we could do automatically without even thinking about them, the things that are on our agenda to have to accomplish tomorrow, Monday, and begins a work week for a lot of people, the things that we're going to do this week, it all seems so ordinary. Here is the beauty of the gospel and the resurrection. Your ordinary day, your ordinary life, my ordinary experience, when Jesus shows up in it, has the power to bring fulfillment to people who are standing all around and just looking at you live your ordinary day. All of a sudden, they see, that's not just Brian, that's just not Bob, that's just not Jane. That is something, and there is a relationship with them, even in their ordinary day. There is a Christ that stands on their life. Sure, I can feel Him. I can see Him. I know He's there, and He's doing things. And when people see Jesus in ordinary life, lives get touched. You think you have to do something spectacular. You don't have to do backflips. You don't have to declare some kind of fame. What Christ is looking for the great most of us, is simply this, that in our every ordinary way of life, He shows up on the shore. We say in our heart, that's Him! That's Him! I know Him! He's the one who died for me. He's the one I saw go into the grave. He's the one that was risen from the dead. He's the one that's standing on the shore. He's the one that says, cast your net out. He's the one that says, come on and show me the fish. He's the one that says, I already had breakfast cooking. He's the one that people see when He's in our life. And you're thinking you're just doing ordinary living. There's a beautiful thing about ordinary life, and that is God just happens to show up in it. It's a beautiful thing for our church family. It'd be tempting to say, we're just an ordinary church. Thank God we are. God loves to show up and reveal Himself among a people just like ourselves. For this never was about us, was it? This was never our gig. This was never our plan. This was never our deal. This was never our idea. This was never our thing. This was never our livelihood. This has always and only been about God sending Jesus Christ on a redemptive mission, which He accomplished to the T and rose from the dead to say it is so. And He still stands among us, even behind our own closed doors or closed hearts. And He says, look at me, look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my side. I did this for you. Peace be unto you. All we have to do as a church family is nothing fancy. All we have to do is reveal the Christ who is already there. We didn't raise Him from the dead. We didn't say to God, you know what, on the third day, the least you could do was show up and bring forth your Son. That was never our grand idea of things. The Christ who died for us, the Christ who stands for us, the one who lives for us, is right here. He's right among us. And we are ordinary people. And yet it is only and always about Him. And in our very ordinary kinds of life, in the things that seem so mundane to us, the things that are so on the calendar for us, the things that are so routine to us, the beautiful thing about life is that when Christ is in it, those routine things carry a boatload of meaning. And we cast our nets out. And it's as if every day when the sun sets, after having cast our nets out for Christ, we bring them ashore to see what God has delivered. We didn't put the fish there ourselves. The disciples had tried all night long. They weren't responsible for a single fish in their net. We're not responsible for a single blessing that the world gets through. It is God who does the blessing. He just wants you to cast out your net. He just wants you to identify Him on the shore and let Him show up. He is very, very capable of doing everything he needs to do for his mission. He would just love to do it through some folk who in their very ordinary lives see and proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And that's it. There's something radical about being ordinary. And I am grateful that I've lived long enough to know I am just an ordinary somebody among 7 billion of us. And yet, in my ordinary way of life, in my non-spectacular living, Jesus is on the shore. And the nets have been cast. And whatever shows up in them, God put in them. And to him only is the glory. And that I, day in and day out, get to wake up and look again at the shoreline of my life and say, I know him. I know him. He showed up today. He'll show up tomorrow. He'll show up on Tuesday. He shows up every single day. Says, Brian, let's cast those nets today. I'll fill them. I just need you to cast the net. I'll take care of the fish. I'll take care of the blessing. I'll take care of the mission. You just do what I ask you to do. How radical. How radical ordinary becomes when Jesus is on the shore. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to invite you to embrace and to accept the ordinary life that most of us have, but to accept that Christ stands right there. And he's not asking you to be spectacular. He's just asking you to cast your net and let him bring the fulfillment to your life. Let him bring the fullness to your life. Let him bring the meaning to your life. Let him bring his own mission to your life. And perhaps on this day you have thought to yourself, I am nothing really out of the ordinary. That's a good thing. God made most of us that way. But he made us in such ordinary ways that every single one of us are the apple of his eye. And he stands for you before the Father. He died for you before the eyes of the world. And he will radicalize your ordinary life and bring everything that's missing, the peace, the grace, the forgiveness, all of that will flow your way in Christ. And if today that's the beginning of a journey, I'm going to ask you to come and begin that journey. For Christ stands here for you. And I would love to pray with you or introduce you to him or have a conversation or set a time in which we talk about that. Or perhaps today you wish to come and reaffirm that in your long, ordinary life, you can bear witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the one who showed up on the shoreline every day for you, and you give thanks for that. Or you've lost hope because you thought you were too ordinary when God was doing radical stuff through you didn't even know he was doing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a very simple story. A story that we really never saw coming. We were expecting more, perhaps. We thought that it was after the resurrection that incredible ministries would just spring up immediately, that all kinds of things. But here are your disciples, here are your people doing what they've always done. They went out on a little fishing trip, and yet it turned out to be radicalized as Jesus stood on the shore. Father, that describes us in so many ways. We do as we do. And sometimes in our ordinary lives, We have felt that we have been perhaps unimpressive, even for Christ's sake, and yet you have shown up. And when we see you and how you express yourself even through our ordinary life, the world is blessed and people see Christ. They're not looking at us. They're looking for Christ. So, Father, we give thanks that you have done the radical thing of loving us, forgiving us, giving us hope in life. So now we come. We come to begin life. We come to share life. We come to celebrate life. We come to bear testimony to the life you've given us, to the fish you have sent into our nets. We give thanks in Jesus' name. As we sing, I'm going to invite you to come. I'll be right here to meet you, to pray with you as you come. You may wish to come and pray at the altar. It is all open. It is all yours. You come on right now.